such peace, no matter where I roam, as in the green hills of Northumberland, the place that I call home. The way the waves fall on the sandy beach, the boardwalk full of smiles, the shades of green along the countryside, the hills go on for miles. And everyone you come upon will smile and say good day. You're in the green hills of Northumberland, and you're gonna wanna stay. The market bustling with artist wares, and the farmers bring the best. The smell of fresh baked bread flows through the air, and I'm feeling truly blessed. And the music blows throughout the land like nowhere that I've known. Through the green hills of Northumberland, the place that is my home.
Stay tuned for Northumberland Checkpoint. It's the same great show as Week in Review with a bit of a twist. Each Friday noon, there'll be a different host and guest who will cut through the political spin by dissecting and examining the issues, the newsmakers in the Northumberland local politics. Relevant, lively, controversial. That's Northumberland Checkpoint, Fridays at noon, only on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own Spark Toys in downtown Coburg.
The coolest little toy shop in town.
We've been open for 5 years now.
And are pleased to offer you a great selection of quality toys.
Books, puzzles, games, art supplies, puppets.
Our clients love that shopping at Spark is fun.
And easy.
Our amazing staff offer personal shopping.
With gifts that are wrapped and ready to go.
Making you look like a rock star at every event. Spark, smart toys for cool kids. 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
When it comes to computers and the internet today, it's hard to know who and what to trust. When something goes wrong, you could call your daughter, your brother-in-law, that kid who mows the lawn, or you could call Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professional. Computer Solutions, located at 208 King Street East in Colburn, is open 6 days a week. They have ample parking and convenient hours, plus you can arrange to have your system picked up or dropped off right from your door. Call Computer Solutions today at 905-355-3622 or stop by their store in Colburn at 208 King Street East. Computer Solutions, your neighborhood computer professionals.
Northumberland 89.7 is your source for local news and interviews with people in our community. Listen throughout the day and check out our complete programming schedule at northumberland897.ca.
Alrighty, welcome back. Joining me in the studio is Rob Washburn, our resident political host, actually. Yesterday you were at the debate. You were the moderator last night in the debate held at the Port Hope Capitol Theater. Now, this was hosted by all three of the local chambers of commerce, if I understand that correctly?
That's correct, Dave, and it was my honor to be included. Yes, it was the Peterborough Chamber of Commerce, the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce, and the Northumberland Central Chamber of Commerce, plus the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. So there was a lot of good people behind it, and they brought the candidates together at the Capitol Theater, and we had an amazing evening. I would say there was about, close to somewhere between 80 and 100 people in the auditorium. I counted at one point and I got up to about 85, 90. And then It was just great. We went through a lot of questions, at least 20,
right,
in the 2 hours. I liked the format very, very much. I thought the organizers did a great job. They had vetted questions, and we just went through, and each one had a minute to respond, and then they could rebuttal for 30 seconds, but they could only rebuttal twice throughout the whole debate. So it wasn't back and forth a lot, but what was nice was if I was a resident and I had a question, they were getting out there. Now, we didn't get all the questions asked, but it was a really interesting range of questions. And the candidates, I thought they all did okay.
How many, you've gone through the questions. Were there a lot of similarities in terms of the questions being asked by the residents?
So I didn't see the original questions that came up. There was a vetting committee right beside the stage. There was a number of people from each of the chambers and the Federation of Agriculture that went over the questions. They would rewrite, they would synthesize some. But a lot of the questions I got actually were from the audience. They were handwritten by individuals, and they came straight up to me. So I think for the majority, they were questions from the people in the audience, and there was only a couple that they had to rewrite or to synthesize.
Mm-hmm. What kind of questions are we talking about here? Was there a general theme among these questions?
No, you know what? I think the theme was the diversity of the questions.
Good.
It was just helter-skelter, but certainly a wide range of issues. And I think that was really great because I know it was business organizations and the agriculture community that sponsored it, but we weren't limited to that. And that was very nice.
Was there one that stuck out for you? Was there one question that you got that thought, you know what, this is a really good question. I'm glad we're getting to ask this question.
Well, I'll tell you a number of perspectives on that. One was we talked about jobs. The question on jobs, bringing jobs to Northumberland, really got the candidates excited. And it was the one where almost quite a few of them used their rebuttals to get in and to start to argue back and forth. And there was a really nice dynamic. I have to say the candidates did really, really well. There wasn't a lot of rhetoric. There wasn't a lot of the usual negativity or the insults or the place to emotion. It was about policy. It was about a platform. And so it was really nice to see them going back and forth, putting their platforms against each other, distinguishing how they were different and how they would, bring jobs back here. So I thought that was one of the more dynamic questions. But I thought there was also some amazing questions about daycare, about dental plans. One about asking about the nuclear, I particularly liked that one. It was specific to the Green Party candidate, Jeff Wheeldon. But it said, you stated earlier that your party's plans were to close the Pickering plant that employs over 10,000 people. How does cutting that many jobs help our local economy? And
that's a good question.
It was an excellent question. And that's just one. They were all that caliber. I think they were all very well done.
Well, I'm glad to hear that so many people attended. One of the concerns you always have at these events is the audience is going to be full of, candidates' friends, basically. You're going to get party supporters. And I understand from talking to someone else who was there that about half the crowd was probably that. You had your NDP supporters, your Greens, your PC and Liberal supporters. But there were other people there. There were people that were, if you will, non-affiliated. Which is always the things that make, in my opinion anyway, that's something that always makes these types of events that much better.
Well, I really respected what the chamber tried to do. I mean, as we were getting started, I spoke to the audience and said, listen, heckling won't be tolerated. And also, I mean, you're welcome to applaud, but just remember that takes away time. And from our questions. And I think we're all here we want to hear answers to our questions. And while there was some applause, not a lot, it was nice. I felt like people were there to hear, ask questions, and hear the answers. I think that was the key to it last night.
Did you manage to engage anyone after the event? Did you talk to anyone in the audience at all about how they felt it went?
It was quite amazing. I mean, I was sort of caught up at the end, but people left rather quickly, so I didn't get too much of a chance. But the feedback I've gotten today, and I there was some posts on Facebook, and I engaged in a couple of comments and questions on Facebook, and people seemed generally pleased. I don't think anybody sort of came away feeling that they were hard done by, or that mm-hmm. there was an avoidance of any kind.
Well, you know, in the past, there have been candidates that, you know, weren't necessarily as stellar, I think is probably a fair term. We've had some candidates, you know, locally over the last few elections that, you know, really weren't all that to speak of. But I understand from, you know, speaking to some of the candidates that we've had already, and we and you and I are going to have an opportunity to interview each and every one of them,
yes.
that we've got some pretty darn good candidates here in Northumberland, Peterborough South.
Well, it was quite phenomenal. I mean, for some of these candidates, they've come on quite recently. And I have to say that they were able to speak to almost all the questions. There were a couple of questions that stumped a few, but I didn't see it necessarily concerning. I mean, it was the day before the first day of the official campaign. So, I mean, they're still getting up to speed on their party's platforms. I mean, obviously, David Piccini and Lou Rinaldi are, you know, both of them have long-time experience. David as a volunteer and as a party member for a long time. Lou, obviously, his experience is there. So they obviously were the most polished. But that doesn't take away anything from any other performance. I thought Jeff Wheeldon of the Green Party was very good and very sincere. And Jana Popaskowski, I said that enough times last night, and I still can't say it as quickly as I'd like to. But she was fantastic. And all of them, you know, there was a few moments. But I don't think anything fatal. And I know the more that they do this and the more that mm-hmm. they're talking to people, it's going to smooth out. So I'm not worried.
You know, you and I have talked about this idea that, you know, parties pick candidates as also rans just so they got some names on the ballot. It doesn't sound to me like you got the impression from any of the candidates last night that they were seat fillers. These were people who definitely feel as though they can do the job.
Absolutely. There was one sort of sad note, and that was is that there was recently a Libertarian candidate,
yes.
John O'Keefe, announced. And sadly, they weren't able to get him, or he wasn't able to come, and so we didn't have him. So that was the only person that wasn't there. But the rest of them, yeah, I would say, you know, they're firing on all cylinders, and you know, you got to give them a lot of credit. I think we often underestimate how difficult what they do is, and mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to build anybody up in particular, but it's a tough task. And so to come in and you know talk about everything from daycare spaces to a public transit, I mean, you know, it's challenging. So if you don't have a lot of experience, sometimes it's hard to find the words.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was great. I can't say anything negative about it.
Well, I want to ask about the NDP candidate, and I'm sorry if I'm putting her out there, but the reality is, and we're hearing this from the political pundits and from the pollsters out there, that this could be an NDP election. Mm-hmm. This could be an opportunity for the NDP to get in there. How do you feel that Jana did during the debate? Again, it was the first one, so
yep.
there will be more to come.
Yep.
I just wanted to gauge your opinion on whether or not you felt.
I think, like I said before, I think everybody was very solid. You know, I think she's finding her way, but she's got lots of experience. She's dealt with large groups of people. I think she's done some, you know, speaking before large groups. So I didn't find anything about her performance last night really detrimental. I think she's just going to get better at it as she goes mm-hmm. along and as she gains her experience. And I think that's true of all of them. I was surprised that, you know, there was a couple of times even Lou and David, you know, had to kind of work themselves into the question and get their momentum going. It's hard to speak. I don't know if you've ever timed your answers to anything, Dave. So you know how difficult mm-hmm. it is when somebody says, as you've experienced, you know, talk for 1 minute on a topic
mm-hmm.
and just be a minute. And a lot of times they would be still talking, but they would cut the mic. That was it. And we moved on. So it was tough. Anyway, what have you got there, Dave?
Well, I'm just looking through the Coburg News site to try and figure out where I would find the listing for the candidates. I know that he has a listing of all the candidates at the Coburg News site. This is John Draper's blog. And I just wanted to see if he had any updates or any other information on the elections. But here we go. He's got a special Vote Ontario, Vote Coburg. Actually, the Vote Coburg 2018 page is for the municipal elections. So that's a different thing altogether. But, yeah, so We know the other meetings are going to take place. We know there was one tomorrow. The Port of Northumberland Community Health Center has an event at 6:45 tomorrow. And I want the listeners to note these dates, because it would be nice to have more and more people out to attend these events.
Dave, you know that healthcare, you and I, we talk a lot about it. We've interviewed many, many people about healthcare, and tomorrow night's debate is solely devoted to healthcare. And, you know, it's a very critical issue for this riding, especially with the new hospice. We've had some monies coming to expand beds. You know, and it's been a long time since we've seen cash flowing into this area for healthcare. And we've gone through some pretty painful processes, cutting back, justifying our current conditions. So, I mean, this is probably one of the more significant debates that I think we're going to see.
Well, that one's coming up. The Trent Hills Chamber of Commerce has theirs coming up on the 15th of May. The Retired Teachers of Ontario, they've got an event coming up on May 17th at 7 p.m. at the Best Western. The Newcastle Chamber at the Clark High School at County Roads, Highways 35 and 115 in Newcastle. That's on May 23rd. And on the 24th, of course, we will be hosting the Northumberland 89.7, moderated by our own John Hill at the Skeena Hall at 17 Mill Street in Port Hope. That's another all-candidates debate. And Sustainable Coburg also has an event coming up at the HTM, the Hamilton Township Building. That's the insurance building at 1185 Elgin Street West in Coburg, the brand-new building there. They're talking about sustainability. A note here from John Draper, too, that the Libertarian candidate will not be included in these meetings. So I don't know what the deal was there, but the Libertarian candidate is John O'Keefe, for those of you that are interested in the Libertarian Party. And again, I would recommend, for those of you looking for information on the election, you know, the wheres and wherefores, check out John Draper's Coburg Internet Information and News blog at coburginternet.com. He's got all the latest info, also the latest info on the municipal elections as well. So good to hear that. So they talked about transit yesterday. Now, I find it interesting. Transit is a really interesting conversation, because for us out here in rural Ontario, transit really means the GO train.
Absolutely. And I really like this question because, of course, you know, we've heard a lot, especially, I don't know if you followed the Monday's leaders' debate on City TV.
I haven't watched it yet, and I've been remiss, but I haven't watched it yet online, and I will watch it online. I've seen clips here and there.
Worth your time. It was a fascinating debate. Anyway, very Toronto-centric, very urban-centric.
Yes, I saw that.
And so a good question was, you know, with all the obsession around the TTC and all the investment that they want to pour into the public transit within Toronto, someone was wondering what's happening eastward. And, of course, we've had announcements around buses to Darlington, and we know that both the mayor of Port Hope, Bob Sanderson, and Coburg Mayor Gil Brockeneer have been lobbying very, very hard to get GO service out this way. And, you know, it's a long horizon, but it would make a massive difference. It would obviously bring some economic impact as well as give us greater access to the city, and for people who are interested in commuting to Toronto for work or for pleasure.
Well, even just for pleasure. I mean, right now the only option really from Coburg is you can drive to Oshawa and get to the GO train there, or you can take the VIA. Now, the problem with the VIA, of course, is they don't have any late night service. Right? I mean, so if, say, for instance, you wanted to take your lovely wife to a show in Toronto at the Princess Wales Theatre. They've got some great shows there. You check that out. You're bound to spend the night at that point, you know, either that or make some other arrangement to get home. You can take the train in, but getting home is not happening. So,
no.
I mean, was that an issue that came up at all?
Yes, that was. And it was really interesting because, you know, obviously the Green Party public transit is a huge cornerstone to their platform, and it was interesting to hear him talk about it. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about this because, you know, he didn't have a lot of time to elaborate. But, you know, getting that GO train service out here, that's not as simple a task as you'd think. Especially, my understanding is because of all the commercial and industrial traffic going out on the rails, we've only got limited capacity as it is.
That's right.
The VIA, they have their own issues, you know, with trains passing and that kind of thing. So I can't imagine what kind of service we would get out here on rail. Now, a bus might be a different story. And I you know, you kind of wonder, you know, what kind of bus service could they be bringing out here? And with the new VIA station, I would say, this new couple years old, I think that's fair. So the new station, you know, could we have something that would go there, or, you know, even into the mall and be picking people up and delivering people? So I think that, but you know, are we still a car culture out here? Are we still a vehicle culture out here? And would people use it? That would be the key piece. Would it just be commuters?
Because the other interesting fact about that is what we know, the province is already committed to building the 35-115. So there will be a GO train to Bowmanville. We know that for sure.
Yes.
That is coming. So that makes the commute to Bowmanville that much shorter as well. So even if you are taking a bus, you're not taking a bus into the city. You're taking a bus from here to probably Clarington.
Yes.
I think that's where the newest facility is being built. And again, that's being built in aid of some of the development that's happening there. And again, that's part of our riding now. We're in Northumberland, Peterborough South. And I think that part of Clarington is, in fact, part of our riding now.
Yes.
So, I mean, it would be, it's now instead of taking, an hour and a half to drive or taking a train that would take you from here to there, you take the short bus trip, then you're on the GO train, and let's face it. I mean, personally, I prefer the GO train to the VIA, to be honest with you, just because of the frequency of stops, the ability to get off in various places. I mean, with the VIA, you're sort of stuck, right? You can, I think they have a stop in Oshawa.
Yes.
I think they might have a stop in Pickering at the VIA, but again, it depends on whether you're on the commuter line.
I think it's Oshawa, and then I think you go in.
Scarborough.
Scarborough, there's one, and then you're into the center of the
exactly.
city. So, no, I can see the advantage of it. And also, too, I mean, a 20 or 30-minute bus ride would be extraordinarily convenient. And if they were to come out, stop in Port Hope, stop in Cobourg, I think that would make a huge difference. And it's the kind of thing, given the opportunity, at least maybe in the mornings and maybe in the afternoons, maybe once in the evening would be a huge boon to this area.
Well, what I really appreciate is the fact that we have had this kind of conversation already with our candidates. I mean, let's face it, this campaign, and it officially kicked off today. Today's day one at midnight last night. It sort of dropped the writ. But the reality is, these campaigns, like the ones in the past, tend to be Toronto-centric. I mean, even when you talk about the city TV debate, they were talking about the Greater Golden Horseshoe and the Hamilton GTA area, the HGGTA. And really, that's all west of Toronto. I mean, if you live west of Toronto, you're on the radar.
Yes.
If you're east of Toronto, and I mean, that's east as far as the Quebec border, you're not on their radar. And for a lot of people, especially, I mean, I remember talking to Lou Rinaldi about the frustration of that. I remember talking to Rob Milligan about the frustration over that.
Yes.
And that fact that, the province of Ontario doesn't exist on Lake Ontario. I mean, we've got two brand new ridings in the north.
Yes.
We've got how many new ridings in the provincial ledger? I mean, we're going from 113, I think, to 127 or 124 new seats. So there's a huge number of new ridings, a huge number of new members, and the bulk of them are not in the GTA. There are a number in the GTA, but the majority of them are in other parts of the province.
Well, to your point, Dave, one of the questions that came up last night was around broadband. And, when you think about it, in an urban setting, broadband is never an issue. Internet access is not an issue.
That's right.
And yet, last night, there was a wonderful question that, was so beautifully phrased because it talked about internet is now an essential service.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we still have pockets, serious pockets, of poor service or no service. And they wanted to know what was going to be done. So I agree with you. I mean, those are still fundamental issues for us. Infrastructure is another big one. I mean, what's happening with our roads and our sewers and that kind of thing. So you're absolutely right. And there were questions around, what are you going to do specifically for rural areas?
Well, on that note, we're going to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation, Rob Washburn and I, as we ask you, the listeners, to consider this. And, Ed White made a point yesterday on Monday when he and I were talking with Ben Bird was in the studio, because we said, it's important that people get educated. And Ed raised the issue that, we're political wonks. Politics is our thing. The average Joe out there isn't politically engaged, and that's not their fault. That's just the way it is. But I made the point to Ed that, you can be oblivious to politics all you want for four years. There's 1 month out of 4 years where we ask people, we demand that people get educated, because if you're not paying attention to me, if democracy isn't important enough to you to spend 1 month being engaged, then maybe democracy isn't important to you at all. We'll be right back.
Are you a fan of psychedelic music like me? I'm Pete Smith, host of Post Meridian, and I'll be serving up the best music of the era every Thursday at 2 in
The Psychedelic.
Did you have too much to dream last night? Want to take a journey to the center of the mind? Then join me for a sublime slice of the psychedelic sound as we open
The Psychedelic.
Every Thursday at 2, right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own All Creatures Great and Small,
your natural pet care specialists.
You've probably noticed that raw food for pets is everywhere now.
We're not surprised.
We've been feeding raw and educating about the benefits for the last 18 years.
To ensure your pets are getting a balanced raw food diet
with the supplementation they need,
come see us. We've got the knowledge
and the experience. All Creatures Great and Small, your raw food experts, 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
Hi, this is Lynn with What's Happening This Week. Friday at the Port Hope Legion at 29A Thomas Street, a chicken and parmesan and pasta dinner. Advance tickets only, 905-373-0693. Saturday at the Northumberland Mall, it's a car detailing in the parking lot from 9 a.m. till 12:45, and it's End Zone's Mother's Day Crafts in the mall from 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Petticoat Lane is having a Mother's Day sale from 9:30 till 4:30 p.m. All proceeds go to the Northumberland Hospital. It's an annual Centerton Spring Yard and Craft Show at the Centerton Hall, 2363 County Road 23, 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. Saturday at the Grafton Legion, a roast beef dinner at 4:30 p.m. And Sunday, it's a Mother's Day breakfast at the Columbus Community Center from 9 till 11:30 a.m. If you have an event coming up, you can contact us at info@northumberland897.ca. This is Lane with What's Happening This Week.
The program that inspires everything except indifference. It's The Drive Time with Dave Glover on Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the conversation. Now, yesterday I was reading a story concerning Doug Ford, and he was talking about his affiliation with the Christian right and his push towards, you know, recognition of faith and all of that. And I went off on a tangent about the separation of church and state, and yet I understand that one of the questions that wasn't asked yesterday was a question regarding that. Essentially, I'm going to paraphrase here. Do you believe that religion has a place in setting government policy? And if so, does that mean that we should be taxing religions? And you know what? That's an interesting two-part question because, you know, I mean, I'll give you my response. Firstly, I don't think faith has a place in governance, not in democracies anyway. And the reason I say that is because democracy has sort of always been a defense against the autocratic authoritarianism of theocracies, right? I mean, democracies were essentially set up to sort of move society away from that theocratic stance. However, if faith is to become an integral part of our democracy, if it does become intertwined with government, then I absolutely believe that we should be taxing religious organizations and faith-based organizations, simply because if you want to play in the political theater, there's a price to pay. That's my humble opinion on that one. Now, I understand that question wasn't asked. What did you think on that?
Well, I'll just say this to start, Dave, is that at the end of the debate, there were quite a few questions that didn't get asked. So I asked the organizers if I could keep those. And I'm hoping that as we go forward and do our interviews, I promise that we will try and get some of these questions answered by the candidates as we go through them over the next couple of weeks.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to try and keep that promise as much as we can. And so, as you rightly pointed out, this one was one that didn't get asked last night. And in terms of my own opinion, I mean, I'm obviously the kind of individual as you are that you know, church and state should be separate for the exact reasons that you described. And yet, more and more, we see social conservatives who come from a religious background pushing a policy agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so, is that exclusively a religious-based tangent, or is it something that is socially driven and therefore just like any other person lobbying for social change, you know? Food security was another question that didn't get answered last night, which is a good topic. So because we're pushing for certain social agendas, does that mean it's any different than somebody who's pushing a social agenda that is doing it from a position of religious groundings? So I don't know how you make that distinction because, you know, if we're pushing for social housing and we believe that it's because we don't want to see poverty in the world, and that was something that Christ or Muhammad or the Buddha as said, does that necessarily mean that it's theocratic, or is it just somebody trying to do good in the world?
Well, that is an interesting argument, because that wraps social justice issues into a sort of theological bubble, right? Because social justice issues tend to be theocratic issues, right? I mean, it's the churches that, I mean, I remember hearing Ron Paul in the United States talking about, you know, government shouldn't be providing charity and social services. That was the purview of faith-based organizations back in the day, right? They were the ones who had the poor box, and they provided housing for people who were underprivileged, and they provide food baskets and things of that nature. But we as a society have evolved, at least some would think that we've evolved from a social justice perspective, to realize that you can't just rely on those faith-based organizations to provide those securities.
But I guess my point is how do you distinguish between a person who makes an argument that says we should make social justice issues a priority, but is not a person of faith? How do you distinguish between them and somebody who makes the exact same argument, but they are a person of faith?
Mm-hmm.
So where you know, if the arguments are the same, the desired goals are the same, How do we point to one person and say, well, oh, that's different because it's coming from a place of your faith versus somebody who is secular?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess it comes down to whether or not you are going to be identifying the idea with the person, or if you respect the idea in and of itself. We're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, more with Rob Washburn as we sort of parse through yesterday's debate in Port Hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Nothing Exists Radio Hour, where nothing exists in this moment except you right here, right now. This new conversational show, hosted by me, Liz England, aims to push boundaries around topics including the arts, community development, restorative justice, feminism, cannabis, disability, mental health, who we are, and how we exist in the social world. Get weird with a new guest and I every week by tuning into the Nothing Exists Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7. Truly local radio.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own Spark Toys in downtown Coburg,
the coolest little toy shop in town.
We've been open for 5 years now.
And are pleased to offer you a great selection of quality toys.
Books, puzzles, games, art supplies, puppets.
Our clients love that shopping at Spark is fun.
And easy.
Our amazing staff offer personal shopping.
With gifts that are wrapped and ready to go.
Making you look like a rock star at every event. Spark, smart toys for cool kids. 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
Why not come out and enjoy a fabulous movie-going experience at the Rainbow Cinemas?
Playing now through May 10th, Avengers Infinity War, rated PG. I Feel Pretty, rated 14A. Indian Horse, rated 14A. And Super Troopers 2, rated 14A.
Rainbow Cinemas are in the Northumberland Mall, 1111 Elgin Street West in Coburg. For showtimes, call 905-372-2444 or visit rainbowcinemas.ca.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7.
Northumberland897.ca.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody, and we're going to move on. Now, that was one question that didn't get asked.
Yes.
And as Rob said, you know, we do have the candidates coming into the studio. They are all coming into the studio, and we will be sitting down with them. We're going to have one-on-one for an hour, and we will be taking calls from the listeners. Our first one, that's this week, isn't it? Our very first one.
On Friday, we're interviewing the Trillium candidate, Derek Sharp.
And we welcome Derek Sharp back to the studio, and we're going to ask him some of these questions as well. Was there another question that didn't get asked that you think we should have talked about?
I definitely, and that was food security.
Food security, okay.
And which huge. Is a topic you and I, we've interviewed people.
Again, yeah.
Food bank, we've talked to experts locally. And I, you know, it's not something we often talk about as a community in public. I know you and I do, but not as a community as a whole. And I would be really interested to know what the candidates are going to do specifically about this, because, you know, it'd be very easy to roll this into an overall overarching policy around basic income versus other types of support.
Sure. Well, again, making housing affordable.
Yes,
and all of those things. So, you know, food security, that sort of really is in that same window.
In that same window. But to talk about that in and of itself, I think it's really important. We've talked many times about how our local food bank is taxed and how it's amazing the kinds of people that are accessing this. It's not just people who don't have work. It's, mm-hmm. it's people who are working poor or have precarious labor and are not always being able to get enough money to buy food because they're too busy trying to pay
for. Well, and recently there was a provincial candidate quoted, and I'm not sure what party they were with, so I'm not going to say, but they were recently quoted as saying that people should be vetted for food banks. Not everybody should be allowed to go to the food bank. And again, I mean, that. So now we're going to set barriers in place for accessing food. I mean, it just seems to me like every time we go forward, we fall back. We don't step back. We fall back. And let's face it, food banks were supposed to be a temporary stopgap. The first food banks were opened in Canada in 1980, was the very first year we had food banks in Canada. And they were supposed to be set up as a stopgap. Now, others would argue that, because we mentioned religious institutions, they've been providing food to the poor for generations. So realistically, this has been an ongoing societal, if you will, I'm going to call it a default. This is a problem within our societal structure. I mean, we've got businesses throwing food away. We've got restaurants that throw food away. And yet we've got people who go hungry each and every day.
But and you know, unfortunately we've focused in on and we hear this all the time. People talk about the minimum wage and the future of these minimum wage changes, and you know, there's different parties with different platforms on that issue. But what we're not talking about is it in a holistic way, which includes food security, housing security, a living wage. Right, not just the minimum wage, but a living wage, mm-hmm. and you know, we did that fantastic interview with Damien Starr, that was so important to talk about. You know, how much do you need to earn in Northumberland so that you can not just sustain yourself, but you can actually have a life, and it's a proper life, not a one of struggle.
Well, and it's not an issue that everybody focuses on. I mean, let's face it, there was recently a motion for the shareholders at Loblaws where they voted mm-hmm. against providing their workers a living wage. Mm-hmm. They said it was going to be, you know, it would price them out of business, and we wouldn't be competitive. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, those are the things we're looking at. Those are the scale, if you will. Well, we can provide a living wage, but if we do, we could price ourselves out of business. And I mean, you know, I mean, I would argue that people who are being paid a living wage could encourage people to shop at their stores. You know, I mean, I think of the stores in the downtown. I don't think there's one store in our downtown, either Port Hope or Cobourg, where they're actually paying people the minimum wage. They tend to pay people a little bit more than the minimum wage to provide them enough income to make the job worthwhile.
Well, we did that interview with the Belleville Chamber of Commerce, and that was one of their initiatives, was getting out that message that here are all the businesses, here are all the companies that are paying a living wage. You know, we don't see that here, and I think that would be a great initiative to let people know, because it might make a difference. It's the same as self-checkout and all those kinds of things. Let people make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have them there, but I'd rather wait for a cashier because I know that I'm giving somebody a job.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So those are the kinds of things that I think we're talking about. Anyway, this has been fascinating, Dave. I'm really excited. I think, you know, we've got a lot of fodder here. There are lots more questions, long-term care, supporting women in business. I think that's a fantastic thing to talk about. Also, access to abortion and other things. There's lots of great questions to talk to people about. So I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks and getting people into the studio
and we're gonna
run at it.
And we're going to ask those questions
to
the candidates. We're going to keep them here, and Rob will have them handy so we can ask them. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in. And a reminder, you know, this is going to bring it to a close today. And I want to thank you for tuning in as you do each and every day. And thanks to Rob Washburn. As, again, we ask you, the listeners, to consider this. And a reminder that we don't write the world at Truly Local Radio, but we bring it to you each and every day. I will be off tomorrow, so tomorrow will be a rebroadcast event. I have to see a heart specialist in Toronto, and I know you probably don't want to hear about it, but that's what's happening, and I'll be back on Friday, and Derek Sharp will be our guest. He's our first candidate coming up. Here's Madman's Angel.
I've seen the city lights that shine so bright. You lose all sense of time. I've wandered ancient lands with castles grand, just to see what I could find. But never have I found such peace, no matter where I roam, as in the green hills of Northumberland, the place that I call home. The way the waves fall on the sandy beach, the boardwalk full of smiles, the shades of green along the countryside, the hills go on for miles, and everyone you come upon will smile and say good day. You're in the green hills of Northumberland, and you're gonna wanna stay. The market bustling with artist wares, and the farmers bring the best. The smell of fresh baked bread flows through the air, and I'm feeling truly blessed. And the music blows throughout the land like no one.